Mr. Gentry how much I appreciate her being here tonight and being willing to come and share with us of her knowledge. I want to say just a few things before we get started. I went to Virginia in 1983 to do mission work, and while I was there, and I've shared this here with the church before on more than one occasion, but while I was there, I became a student of Virginia Baptist history, and I got some books on the history of the early Baptist, I guess you'd say the pioneer Baptist of that state, and I began to study them, and among the preachers during those years was a man named Samuel Harris, and I really got caught up at times reading about the ministry of Brother Samuel Harris. But in reading that, of course, this was someone who lived back in the 1700s, and in reading that and reading about Samuel Harris and how God had blessed his ministry and what he did in the ministry those years ago, reading that, I never dreamed of meeting one of his descendants. And when I came to pastor at Fairview Memorial, shortly after coming here, I gave a lesson one evening on the history of the Baptists in Virginia, and Samuel Harris was one of the names that I mentioned in my lesson, and Sister Gentry let me know that evening that she was one of his descendants. He was a great, 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 great uncle. I'm not sure how many generations removed, but he was a great uncle to her, and I found that really interesting. He was a faithful preacher of the gospel, and Sister Gentry certainly has been a faithful servant of the Lord. Amen. And if the records that I have are right, and I believe they are, Sister Gentry has been a member of the church here since November 10th, 1924. And as I said, if the records I have are proper, then that's how long she's been a member. And if my math is right, then if God would spare her until this November, she will have been a member of the church for 86 years. And there's just not very many people that are able to be a member of their church for 86 years. So this is something that's very unique, and I thank God for the opportunity that we have tonight to hear from this dear sister in the Lord, and I want to ask you to remember her in your prayers. She's not feeling the best, and we have told her that if she gets tired, to just let us know, and we'll conclude. But you remember her in your prayers, and I'm going to ask Brother Lowe if he would at this time to come. And Brother Lowe has some questions that he's going to ask Sister Gentry, some things that he's going to talk about. So remember them both tonight in your prayers, please.
Good to see this number to come out tonight. And as I said, there's not a one here tonight, I'm sure, that's known this dear sister very long. I can't say that she's been a great blessing to their life. She's been a wonderful blessing to my life, especially when I was a young Christian, not young in years, but young in the Lord. I was pretty well ignorant of anything about the Bible, the church, or God's Word. She was a great help in telling me things along them lines and helping me. Of course, I've known her for 56 years. Soon be 57. 56 years. And according to the length of time she's been a member of the church and what the pastor just said, I'm kind of the new kid on the block as far as she's concerned. But she's meant a lot to my life. And we've also told her that I know she's not well, and if any time she gets tired of this, I'm not going to ask her a whole lot of questions. I'm sure she could answer questions if she had the strength and thing, because we've got daylight again in the morning. But we won't wear her patience. And Brother Dallas, I had a few questions I wrote out myself, jotted out. Brother Dallas, I told him he knew a few questions he might ask her to include them on a piece of paper. He really went the big mile. He got me 25 of them. So I'm not going to wear her patience and our patience out that long. Would that be better than me standing with that, brother?
I didn't know we were going to have them. Needed to.
Put that back in.
Okay. I'm a little long. Not yet. I will.
Now we're in business. Sister Gentry, I've heard people say that if they had their lives to live over again, there's things they would change. In your life thus far, I should say. I heard a man say one time that he was interviewed and they asked him if he'd lived in that community all his life, and he said, not yet. And so I'll be that way with her. But is there things in your life that you've lived thus far that you would have done differently if you had the opportunity again?
Yes, I'm sure would. Maybe. No, I don't know whether I would or not.
That's a pretty good answer. I feel the same way. I wouldn't want to go over it again, because I'd probably make a bigger mess the second time through it than I had did the first. We'll ask you this question. Other than your family members, were there someone whose influence helped influence you in your life as a young Christian? Anyone in particular you can think of tonight?
Betty Lyle.
God bless her memory tonight. She's been a source of influence to a lot of us here tonight. Can you certain, and it's one thing that you can think of that she influenced her life?
No, just everything in particular.
I want to ask you another question. This doesn't pertain to the church, but indirectly it does. Can you tell us about the flu epidemic of 1917, when so many families lost sometimes several members in their family? Sister Florence Roberts told me, one of the good old saints of this church, that she lost 5 family members in 1 week that time. Can you tell us anything about your experiences during that time of the flu epidemic?
Yes, my mother died. I had a little sister 2 years younger than I was. And I was 4. Pauline was 2. And mother died. And Pauline died. One died. And and breakfast time and morning, and they both died at the same time, just about. Mm. And I have never had flu, and I think maybe that the Lord gave me an immunity of some sort that I had from that, because I said we had 2 beds in this bedroom, and mother and the baby and the little 2-year-old slept on one bed. I slept with Daddy on the other bed, and he had the flu was so bad that he couldn't get up to go to bury the other mother and Pauline. And I never did have it. I didn't have it then. I've never had flu. Yeah. So I wondered if maybe I had an immunity from some form. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't have the flu. The others had it. And you know, I was nearly grown before it ever dawned on me that everybody's grandparents didn't live with them. Mine were there when I got there. And they didn't have the flu either. So, but the people would come and bring things to eat. I was just 4 years old, but I remember they'd bring things to eat to us, you know, Daddy's brother and his wife, and neighbors. But that was a bad time. I remember enough about it that I could see the cars going out of Fairview to the cemetery, just like a procession all the time. Mm. And I remember that much about it.
Thank you.
But I have put those memories, the sad ones, and I put them behind. And I can't remember them as plain as I should.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing you remember that much of it. I'm going to ask another question. It doesn't depend on, well, it indirectly involves the church. And I've heard that Brother C.B. Massey, first pastor of this church, the one God that used him to gather the church in the beginning, he spent a lot of time at Sister Ginger's home while he was here. Not all the time, there's other places he went, but he spent a lot of time there. And this might be something Dr. Collins could use in his practice. I'd heard that when he got a bad cold and there was snow on the ground, that he would go barefooted and walk around the house several times, and he said that would cure a cold. Do you remember that? It actually happened.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was crazy.
This is another humorous question I guess you had. Brother Henry Pillow said he couldn't be here tonight, but said he wanted me to ask her one question. He wanted me to ask you if you remember the time that you went to the grocery store with Lennon, and he remained in the car, and you went in and brought the groceries, and you come out with a big sack of groceries about to hide your face, and there was another car just about like y'all's with another man sitting in it about three or four cars down. And you went and got in the car with him. Do you remember
that? I did.
I thought you might remember that. I said,
I remember that.
Said Brother Lennon never did quit laughing about that. What do you remember about the facilities we had at Fifth Street Church? It was a kind of a... We didn't have a real good building, but I thank God for it. I would rather worship in that little primitive building and felt the great power of God that we felt at that time than to worship in the greatest cathedral that there is in this world and have nothing but a formal religion. So do you remember much about the facilities? Anything you'd like to remember?
No, I don't remember. Well, I guess I'll have to tell you that we had two big, great big heaters, stoves, you know, two. And that's what we heated church with. But I remember sweeping that church every week. Daddy was a janitor and I was a part janitor. We just took it on our own. Daddy did to take care of it. And then I always had to help. I remember that. And we oiled the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Had to oil the floor. And the elderly men that chewed tobacco, spit in the ashes. Once I was on the stove. There's always some cleaning to do there. But it was just such a part of me that I just took it for granted.
You did, didn't you?
I did. It was just a part of my life. And there wasn't anything special about it to me. It was just a part of my life. And I thank the good Lord for that as much as anything.
Amen. Amen. One thing I remember about our primitive facilities down there, we had a water bucket and a dipper.
Yeah.
And she said there's a lot of tobacco chewers in the church at that time. And several women to dip snuff. And I'd always watch them. They'd go to get the drink, and they'd always get right up the handle where they thought nobody else didn't drink. And 99% of the people would drink up close to that handle thinking nobody else had drank there. I never will forget that. I tried not to get the drink from the dipper. I'll about ask you mine, and I'll ask a few of Bill Dallas's question just in a minute. I might close my part of the question saying that Sister Gentry's family has meant a lot to this church from the very beginning. I believe her father, if I'm right, is probably one of the first deacons in this church. I never knew the man. He passed away before I was saved. But there's a lot of us that older ones can think of things that family meant and did special in the church. They were all there. This good sister, all of these years, I might say, she's been here in the service of this church continually from the time she was saved till now. The only exception, one time her brother-in-law operated a store down in Tennessee, and she left for a while to go down there and work in that store. I don't know, that was a period of a few months, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the only time I can say since I've been a member of this church that she hadn't been here. And
I guess it was around about a year I ran this shop. It was a dress shop. And in Humboldt, Tennessee.
Well, I've asked you all of my questions, so I'll ask a few of Brother Dallas's. I used mine because I got seniority on him.
Yeah, some questions. I have a
list. Go ahead. If you want to read what you got, go ahead.
Well, this is just a, won't know how old I am. And sometimes I can't remember myself. And there, I remember attending a tobacco barn revival. Yes, I do. I was just a kid, really. And my grandparents lived with us, and Granny kept a good line on me, and she'd make me quit playing and go clean up and go to church. I remember Granny taking me to church in the afternoons at the barn meeting. Another thing that I remember vividly about that is the light. You know, the lights was in the place, just to train one ran on the one light, and it wasn't very much light in there. But I went to the barn meeting because Granny took me. And this is what's our first memories of Fifth Street Missionary Baptist Church, a Ferry Memorial. crusade. I don't know the exact date. I was young, I guess. And it didn't seem important to me probably then. But I was saved in a revival. There was no revival going on. And they had worship service at home. But it wasn't a worship service. I didn't get saved in a worship service. Said, when, where, and who baptized me, and how many? I don't know how many there was, but I know that my daddy was baptized same time I was, and he never got saved until he was 40 years old. And Margaret Hatcher, I remember when I got saved the night, I thought, Margaret has to do this too. And we were sitting together, and she evidently got saved that night. I don't remember if she did or not, if it was that particular night, but we was right together. It says, when, where, and who baptized me, and how many. I know Dad was baptized. And Margaret was at that time. I don't remember who else. There's a question here. A statement said, when or who were some of the influential Christians in your life before you were saved? Well, I was saved when I was 10 years old, and I was still just a child. This has been such, the church has been such a part of my life that it's difficult for me to separate it between my church life and my normal life. It's difficult for me. It was always close enough and such a part of my life that it didn't seem extraordinary to me. It's a very simple thing. And I thank the Lord every day for the church, for his goodness to me. And I don't know how people make it without the Lord.
Amen.
I want to know how we got to church. Did we walk across? We walked because we didn't have a car. I remember Ms. Bilbrey. She was a little bitty lady, and she was sitting against the window on the far side of the church. And I had never thought about salvation. I was just 10. And you know, she looked at me. And I knew right then that I needed the Lord. Actual memory I have of needing the Lord.
Are you getting tired of talking?
No. I don't ever get tired of talking. My daddy said, he said, "Well, Christine," he said, "I declare to my time." He said, "You go to bed, or you get up in the morning of talking, you go to bed at night of talking, you still haven't said anything." He's rattled. Another question said, "When, where, and who baptized me? And how many?" Cap Massey baptized me. And I remember this little man around Bowling Green. He didn't have any, he had his legs off. He rolled on a little pallet around. And Brother Massey baptized him. I remember that.
I never did know his name.
I never did either.
All I ever heard him call was legs, no legs.
I didn't know. I just never did know.
He wore gloves on his hands and he had a skate on each side of the board, four half skates, but he could burn that pavement up.
He sure could. Here's another question, another statement. It says, "Could you relate to us some memories of worshiping at Fifth Street, and how did you get to church, car or walk?" We walked. We never owned a car in our life. Daddy didn't. And I never owned a car until I was a grown person. But I have this is a foolish memory of the church when it first started. There was a hole in the wall, and I call it, I don't know what I call it, I was afraid of it, I know. And every Sunday afternoon, I was miserable, sitting there waiting for that thing to get on me and bite me. A devil's horse. I was deathly afraid of a devil's horse. It says, "What do you recall concerning the benevolence of the church and worship at the church during the Depression?" Well, I've lived through wars and I've lived through depressions and I've survived them all. But it's not as bad as we usually think it is. And always about this one thing about the church, that there never was a time, no matter how bad the Depression was, that people needed help, that they knew where to come to get it. There never was hardly a service that there wasn't somebody asking for sending on wanting help, and they always got it. And there wasn't any wealthy people in the church. They weren't wealthy people. They were all just hard-working people. But they never turned anybody down. Never. If you needed help, all you had to do was send word to Fifth Street Church, and you got help. That's one of the main things that they have always. And it said something about, one of the questions said, "What kind of worship and service is there during World War II? One thing that stands out in my mind, we had a We just had a small house. But we had the biggest crowds of people to eat. Nobody ever come to church. The daddy didn't ask them home with them. And Mama would start cooking on Wednesday, and she'd bake cakes and pies and everything else. And she'd have stuff to feed people when they come. And Daddy always asked everybody at church to go home with us on Sunday for dinner. Everybody ate at our house on Sunday. And that makes a feeling with you as you go along. That's just a very simple thing, but I guess that's where I got my love of people and other church members. They always seem so near and so close to me. One of the best friends I ever had in my life was Dolly Rather. She was just like another sister. And she stayed at our house nearly as much as she stayed at her own home. And a special memory that we always had. I can see that her just, she wanted this cupola on the church. She always wanted it. And it didn't matter to me whether that we had that or not. The church didn't make that much difference in the church and the way it practiced. But she just, that really did mean a lot to her. She got it. Finally got it. I can, we've had a lot of talks about that. And there's another one someplace, I don't know about what church. About World War II. I remember my daddy, as I said, I was always used to people being at our house and eating with us. We always had somebody eating with us. And yes, this which stands out in your mind about worship during World War II. Well, I know I still have to go back to personal. It has to be personal with me. It was such a personal part of my life that it had to be personal. But We would be at work. We worked at Scott Tobacco Company. Nell did, and my sister that's dead, and Catherine. Worked in a basement. Worked for Scott Tobacco Company. And they... people would walk up past the church, past the building. And stop and talk to us. And we'd take them home with us. the Army trained, for the Second Army trained, got the training in Kentucky, Tennessee. I don't know. It's all coming back to me in bits and pieces. But I remember the lady that was sitting looking. The first, I wasn't saved in a revival. But I went to that tobacco barn revival because Granny made me go. She'd make me go to church, and she didn't make me come in and quit playing, and I didn't like it at all. But that, I remember that lady, that little lady she was, very, just a small lady, and I remember her just as plain today as I. When she looked at me, I knew she was going to call me, going to tell me that I needed to be saved. That's the first memory I have of knowing, of thinking about being lost.
Covered that pretty good, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I didn't make it. Made it, as my daddy said, it hadn't made any sense. We worked, we walked. We didn't have a car. We always walked to church, and most everybody did. I don't think there was about one or two cars at the church for years. There, Mr. Rather had a car, and Mr. Matters had one.
Yeah.
And that's really the two cars that I remember. But these people had such an influence on my life. That I attempted to just teach a Sunday school class. You know, I wasn't smart in the Bible. But I just taught what I knew was facts. And one of the main places, scriptures in the Bible, is where the Lord told members to go to a certain place and stay there until their time to leave. And Daddy thought that I grew up and lived in a family of churches, Christian churches. And I don't see how that could be and not have such an effect on anybody as it had on me. I'm not making sense out of this, I'm not that. And during World War II, we always had always soldiers around. And we would always take them home with us to eat. We took two or three home with us one time. We They thought we was going to poison them. Then Mom had turned them greens. And they'd never eaten them. We always told them that you can go home with us and eat, but you had to eat whatever's there. And we always had service people at our house. We'd take them home with us, and they'd always stay and eat with us. And my daddy always wanted, if anybody comes to our house, he wanted them to eat with. And always he would talk to those boys. I know that it had an effect on some of them because he never failed to check with them about the Lord. He always did that. That was a good chance he had, and he always used it. And he said, this one of these questions is, can you relate to us the purchase of the parcel of land adjacent to Fairview Cemetery? I let the deacons, I knew about it, of course, and but so far as I was concerned, that was the deacons' business to tend to that. There's a little bit of a said, can you relate to us the purchase of the parcel of land adjacent to Fairview Cemetery? Really, I can't, because I asked that was the deacon's business. That wasn't any of my business. Said, what memories do you have of worshiping in the basement? I enjoyed it. I was in some good services in the basement. Amen. Says, what stands out in your mind concerning the construction of the present church building? I'm proud. I couldn't be prouder than I really am of the church. When it started as just a little building with holes in the wall and a lot of the church members worked for Scott Tobacco Company and when we rocked the church up, put rock around it. And that was my daddy's idea about that. There's a colored man named Bab, and he made a little fence that went down the alley. And he made such a pretty little fence that daddy got him to make he asked him what he would charge to rock the church up when they put the rock on it. And the people that worked at Scott Tobacco Company, and they paid, I believe, a quarter a month. We had a little there was a little, just a little, very small little trunk lot, and it did a lot of the church business because we give our, when we got paid, when we went to work, got paid, we put our tenth in that little church, and it has carried a lot of money at times. Because always when we worked, we always put our money in that little place. Because it wasn't to use, it was to use just for the church business, and it was already given before we used it. I mean, before we needed it, it was there. And it was in that little church, in that little I can see all this in my mind, but
you've done fine.
But I'm not making it very clear.
No, you've done fine.
But you know, I can go by here and just look at the church, and I am so proud of it.
Amen.
From where it came from. It's wonderful to me.
Amen.
I wouldn't take anything for this. And the love I've got from that.
I believe she's pretty well covered the list, Brother Dallas. Pardon? Okay, Brother Dallas, come up. Brother Dallas has a couple questions he wants to ask.
All right.
Sister Gentry,
you know, you can make sense out of what I've rambled around.
All of my life, I've wanted to pilot an airplane. And I've never had the privilege of doing that. What's it like to be up there just sailing around on your own?
It's one of the most wonderful feelings in the world. And the first airplane I ever saw, I was sitting on my daddy's shoulders. That was in World War I. And this fellow was kind of a stunt pilot. And it was red, white, and blue, and I cried to ride. My daddy never did think I was very smart. And I would dream of flying and wanting to fly. And dreamed of that a lot. But when I decided, a friend of mine, bunch of us hung around together, and he stayed at LaRucco. I came to Bowling Green and started giving flying lessons. And that was in World War II. I had a grown woman. And this friend of mine, he said, "You come on and go out there and take a try." So I wouldn't go. I was riding a bicycle. I didn't have a car. And I was riding a bicycle. And I'd ride a bicycle every afternoon. I'd get off from work and I'd ride. And there wasn't anything out there except just the field. No airport, no more airport than we've got now, really. And I finally went out there. I told him, I said, I told Mr. Coy, I said, "I may be afraid." I said, "I've never been in an airplane." I said, but I've always thought I wanted to fly. And it is not a, well, it's just not a feeling like it. We took off. And there's nothing to go by. You know, you're just up there, just floating. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
And I punched him in the back. And the pilot teacher, he sat in front, you sat in the back, an old Piper Cub. And I told him, I said, I'm not afraid. I said, you can go faster. I thought, oh, it's fine. So when we came down, he said, she wanted to know how fast we went. She said she wasn't afraid. So, but I never did live that down. Every time we'd hit the ground, they'd want to know how fast he flew. But flying is wonderful. But my daddy, he never would go out airport or out the field or in the airport. He never would go out there. But I'd fly over the house.
Hey,
when I go up.
Hey, you were right at the point of getting your pilot's license, weren't
yes,
you? When
the Army took it over. Army started taking.
It's a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
Especially at that time. You told me once about one of your first jobs was picking strawberries for an uncle. And he paid you, and he told you to remember that 10 cents of every dollar that you made belonged to the Lord. And there's a little purse, about 3 inches by 2 inches. Tell me about that little purse and what it has been like in your life.
Well, it carried a right smart money.
Yeah.
In different times. And it was just a special part of my life. Because my 10th went in that. And I think now, well, I grew up in a family of preachers. Because Daddy always wanted the preachers to stay at our house when they'd come, and the revival last a month. And that was their home. Mama did their washing and ironing, and took care of them, fed them. And I know some of you have heard us talk about Bide Russell, the blind lady that stayed at Fifth Street all the time. She wore a black bonnet. And she'd get happy and she'd pitch that bonnet back like the hat. She sat up in the corner by the across from where the preacher preached. And she lived with us. Daddy thought she needed to stay in a place different to where she used to stay in Tennessee, so he got her to come and live with us. She lived with us. We always had two or three different people that didn't belong to us living with us. And she came and lived with us until she died. And the preachers would aggravate her to death. I remember they came to She didn't like parsnips. And Daddy said he'd put a bite of parsnips in my mouth when I was a baby, and I nearly had a fit. And I never liked parsnips. But I remember one time Mama got some parsnips and cooked them. It was during the revival. They were standing, all of them standing in our house. And somebody, one of the preachers asked by what, asked her to say, offer thanks. And the smart alecky preacher said, he said, I don't see a thing in the world to thank the Lord for. So they didn't have any, the Lord didn't get thanked that time. But there was always something going on with them. I couldn't hardly wait. I just loved revival time. It lasted about a month.
Sounds like you grew up in a lively household.
Hmm?
Sounded like you grew up in a lively household. Something always going on.
I did. Always something going on.
Well, it's a blessing to have something going on for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for.
And it's such a been such a person part of my life that it just seems like it's just that's it.
Yeah.
And that made me all my life. My younger days growing up made me want to serve the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Christine. You know, I believe she really could talk all night. Brother Miller, I'll turn it back over to you.
I think that it would be good for all of us as we go through life, and I'm sure that Sister Gentry has done this along the way, but as we go through life, times, different ways that the Lord blesses our lives, if we write some of that down and keep a record of that, because if God allows time to go on, it may help somebody. I'm thankful for the history that's been left for us, and I thank God for Sister Gentry and what she's able to still recollect of days many years ago. I mean, she spoke of times tonight before I was even in the world, and so I'm thankful again for her being willing to come tonight. I appreciate Brother Lowe and Brother Wheat taking part the way they have. I want us to all come around and shake hands with Sister Gentry. We might move these mics back out of the way. So while we sing, let's come and let's give her a hand of fellowship and show our appreciation and our love for her and her willingness to come here tonight and speak to us. Let the congregation stand.